Thank you. My name is Wendy Wilkins. I'm the Dean of the College of Arts and Letters here at Michigan State University. Welcome to our third evening this year of our 1999 Celebrity Lecture Series. You're here joining us as part of the 11th annual Celebrity Lecture Series, which was named to honor its founding dean, John W. Eady. It's wonderful to see such a large audience and to recognize many faculty colleagues, community friends, students, and members of the College of Arts and Letters Dean's Community Council. I'm very fortunate to be able to participate in these events that are part of our outreach activities for the College of Arts and Letters. This is, in fact, one of our most prestigious events of the year, the Celebrity Lecture Series. And I'm also the one who gets to thank our generous supporters. This evening, I'd particularly like to thank our sponsors, Plant and Moran, and the IBM Corporation. Their support has been truly generous, so thank you. Those of you here in the audience are able to participate actively in the lecture this evening by submitting questions to our speaker. With your programs that you picked up, there are cards that you can write your questions on, and then when you're ready, you can pass them to the side and they'll be picked up by an usher. This evening, Mr. Irvin Nichols of the Dean's Community Council will be presenting your questions to our guest. As you all know, because you're here, we have a presentation this evening by a man that you know, that we all know, as an author, as a public television personality extraordinaire, as a master of the art of narrative history, as a Pulitzer Prize winner. He is, of course, Mr. David McCullough. Here to introduce you this evening to our guest is professor in our history department, Dr. David Bailey.
Thank you, Dean Wilkins. Walter Adams, the 13th president of Michigan State University, and one of the people who's made a huge impact on my life, and I imagine some of yours, used to say, "Bailey, grab the microphone if you can. Otherwise, some other guy will take it." Well, tonight I'm that other guy, and I'm smart enough to know that I shouldn't stay long. My other guy status was brought home to me recently when my 82-year-old father gave his dentist a copy of a book I wrote. After a decent interval, Dad asked him what he thought. "I hated it," the dentist said. It seemed like a damn textbook. Well, I think some sign of my father's loyalty, he told me he decided to change dentists. But Dr. Swyatt Howie was probably more right than I would like to admit. So many historians write only for one another, or to get tenure, or to get a raise. And very few write because of what got them into this game in the first place, a mysterious rapture with the past. One more thing, and Dad did say he was very much enjoying the book I had given him on Truman, written by our guest tonight, David McCullough. David McCullough is at the center of a great upheaval of interest in history. Consider some of the following. All five nominees for Best Picture at this year's Academy Award were historical films. One, Shakespeare in Love, wasn't even about war. The end of the century has brought a flood of television shows looking back at our achievements and failures over the last 100 years. Even the impeachment of William Jefferson Clinton allowed every school child in the country to learn about Andrew Johnson, which may not have been entirely a blessing, but it was history. And in the midst of all of this upheaval of interest, David McCullough has been there, helping to create the History Channel on cable, revitalizing American Heritage Magazine, providing the narration and comments on Ken Burns' Civil War and another bunch of Ken Burns-like shows. It sometimes seems that McCullough has become the public face of the history business, and there couldn't be a better spokesperson for what some of us think we're up to. Of course, the heart of his contribution is one fabulous book after another. Just in passing, I should note that he is the one commercially successful historian I know who's managed to avoid writing about the Civil War. I read his first major book, The Johnstown Flood, I don't know that he'd like me to say this, but when I was a senior in high school. And it had a significant role on what I chose to do for a living. I just wanted to let you have a taste of it. Many of you will not have read it. Just listen to this, just a couple paragraphs. Terrified, he froze in the doorway. The roar kept getting louder and louder, and every few seconds he heard tremendous crashes. He looked across at the house and in the second story window saw his father motioning to him to get back into the barn and up the stairs. Just a few weeks earlier, he and his father had cut a trapdoor through the barn roof because his father had thought it might be a good idea. The boy was through the door and onto the roof in a matter of seconds. Once there, he could see across the top of the house, and on the other side, no more than two blocks away, was the source of all the racket. He could see no water, only an immense wall of rubbish, dark and squirming with rooftops, huge roots and planks. It was coming at him very fast, ripping through Portage and Center Streets. When it hit Washington Street, he saw his home crushed like an orange crate and swallowed up. Now that's history. His book on the Panama Canal, I was told by one of the people in the Alumni Association, is required reading for anyone who travels through that great ditch. The Great Bridge, perhaps his masterpiece, I don't know if he agrees, is filled with bursts of rich human drama, yet it still saves room for the technical, political, and social swirl of the building of that rare wonder. And Truman is simply one of the best biographies written by an American ever. Now, as you listen to David McCullough, I'd like you to pay attention to his great theme, or what I think is his great theme. I haven't seen a copy of his talk, but I bet this issue is in there somewhere. McCullough is interested, I'd say even fascinated, by bridges. It is most obviously the case in the book he wrote about one going to Brooklyn, but it is more subtly true throughout the rest of his work. He loves letters, which are, after all, little bridges. He loves relationships. His book about the family of Theodore Roosevelt is all about the nature of human connections and how they made this extraordinary man. And Truman was, if nothing else, the fellow who bridged the New Deal and what came after. Most obviously, David McCullough provides a bridge between academic history with all of its narrowness and all its footnotes, and the public that wants to know, that craves to know about its own history. He seems to me to take utterly to heart Forster's injunction that we must only connect. And I trust he will connect with all of you tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome David McCullough.